This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, we would want to be fountains of hope for others, but people find only hardened hearts. We'd like to be transformed people, but our stubborn pride prevents us from bending a knee to you. We long to stand with those who are in need, but our selfishness keeps our backs rigid with judgment. Forgive us, God, who came down to us. Humble us, that we might be true servants to the broken and lost. Split open our frozen hearts, that compassion might flow freely to those who are hurting. Fill our minds with the presence of your Spirit, that we might learn how to follow Jesus Christ into that kingdom of grace and hope that begins even now. Amen. Good morning. On this Sunday, as we hear this incredible parable about those who had been neglected, pushed aside, ignored, but in the end are paid in full, perhaps there is something there as this nation mourns the loss of our Supreme Court Justice, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I cannot help but think even our president saying that even if you didn't agree with her, she was an incredible person who lived an incredible life. All sorts of RGB quotes that are floating around on the internet. And one I liked, especially in terms of this gospel, is don't be distracted by anger, envy, or resentment. They just zap your energy and waste your time. We can certainly learn a lot about that in this parable today, because this parable, in its root sense, takes us back to the last two commandments, not to covet, not to be jealous, not to be envious. Those of you who have been blessed to go to Roslyn Chapel on one of our pilgrimages in Edinburgh, Scotland, know that they have this incredible work of masonry that is throughout the church. And one of the most powerful images for me is one of the support beams in masonry has on one side depicted the seven deadly sins, and on the other side of it has the cardinal virtues. But the artist was very clever, because the artist took greed, one of the seven deadly sins, and took charity or love, one of the cardinal virtues, and switched them on the sides of the masonry, as if to make the point that we as human beings have this mixture inside of us that is all that should be and is good and virtuous, but at the same time the tendencies towards going the wrong directions. We are a mixture. And it becomes for us, as we hear in that other story sometimes, well then, which of these are we going to feed? I spent 4 years in Italy, and there was something that was always called mal-occhio, the bad eye, the evil eye. And especially if you did something that angered an old Italian lady, you got the evil eye. And you knew it when you got it. And that evil eye was such that it was supposed to really give you a curse. Such that Italian traditions have these amulets that people wear and different things they have to do to get rid of the evil eye. When Jesus talks in the 15th verse of this parable and says that the landowner says, "Are you envious because I'm generous?" The root word of that envious that he is using is, "Do you have the evil eye?" That's how bad envy can be, one of the seven deadly sins. We can talk about envy, we can talk about jealousy, and really from the beginning of time, that's sort of what we have been as human beings. The sin of Adam, jealousy with Eve. They didn't have, they couldn't have that knowledge that God had, and so they tried to be like God. It was passed on to Cain, jealous of his brother Abel, and so on and so on. And so Jesus asks us today, as he is asking his audience in Matthew's gospel, are we jealous? It's a hard thing for us to admit. Things happen to us, and it becomes important for us to differentiate between the feelings and emotions that we have and the attitudes that can result from them. When something happens, we might feel sadness. When we lose a loved one and somebody else didn't. Stress or anxiety when someone else gets the promotion and we do not. When someone else prospers and we feel like we do not. Yes, we have those feelings and emotions. But what those commandments and what Jesus is cautioning us against is not to let it become an attitude of envy or jealousy. We can choose to look at life in many different ways. The envy and jealousy side can be for us to look at life as a pie. Because if it's just a pie, there's only so many pieces. And if you have a bigger piece of the pie, there is that much left of the pie for me. God is not like a pie. God's love is endless. There is always enough. There was always more. And if we can believe that God truly is that love, then Matthew is inviting us to make a choice today to see love and blessings as never ending, or to react like those workers did, the early ones, and live a life of regret and jealousy and envy. Matthew's gospel structure reinforces what we are dealing with here today. You know, Matthew didn't write his gospel or anybody else and say, okay, this is going to be chapter 1, verse 2, and so forth, but after the fact, these things were divided up. And the natural structure that Matthew wrote begins back in, for this section, begins back in the previous chapter in 19, because there is another section prior to this that ends with the same saying that this gospel ends with. The last will be first and the first will be last. In Matthew 19, a rich young man comes to Jesus saying, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And of course, as we know, Jesus tells him, "Sell your possessions, give them to the poor, and then come and follow me." And the guy walks away sad because he has many possessions. Then we get into Peter's reaction, and Peter says, "Jesus, we have given up everything to follow you." And almost with a bit of envy, Peter adds, "So what will we have?" And of course, Jesus then responds that anyone who gives up mother, brother, sister, family, land, and comes and follows me will have inherited eternal life. And then he adds, but many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Then this gospel parable follows. It's all about the perspective that we need to keep our lives in that we talked about for the last several weeks, really. And that is, our job as disciples of Jesus who loves endlessly, echoing the love of God our Father, it is our call and our opportunity to do everything we can to bring others into that experience of eternal life now. This scenario that this parable paints would not have been a made-up scenario. When it was time for the vines to be harvested, just like it is today, the grapes are ready, they have to be harvested, because if you don't, the rain is going to come and the harvest will be ruined. So at the time of harvest, you have to go and you have to get those laborers. So just like in our day and age, you go and you look for day laborers, you figure out how many you think you will need, and they go and start to work, and you realize there is more to be done and quickly, so you go back and you find others, and then you go back again. And their workday went till 6 p.m. because of it getting nightfall. So when those few men are called at 5 o'clock, the landowner knows that they're only going to be able to work for an hour, but they could gather up the harvest. But here's the important part for us. Those laborers who didn't get hired till 5 o'clock were there the first thing in the morning. It wasn't like they were lazy slobs and finally made it over there at 5 o'clock. They had been waiting all day. The payment that was given in the parable is a denarius. A denarius known to be that denomination that enabled a low-class family to have food for a day. Can you imagine being one of those men, hoping against hope, that you would be chosen so that you would be blessed to go home and put food on the table for your family? Wow. What incredible joy they must have had when they had that opportunity for that which they had hoped for, just like those who had showed up early in the morning and were hired had, to be able to feed their families. They hung in there. They didn't give up. In some sense, the camaraderie perhaps that they had with each other gave them strength to hang in there. And perhaps they were just a people of hope. Going back to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, there are so many quotes that she talks about in reflecting on her own life. And in regards to this part of the story, she writes this: "We can't have it all at once. Who, man or woman, has it all at once? Over my lifespan, I think I've had it all, but in different periods of time, things were rough. And if you have a caring life partner, you help the other person when that person needs it." What an opportunity for these who were called last to be celebrated. I think there might be a different rationale, too, to look upon with how this story was meant to end. And to illustrate that, I want to go back to an experience that Dee and I had when we were gifted on our sabbatical with doing the last 100 kilometers, that actually turned out to be more than that, 80 miles, of walking the pilgrimage path in Spain, the Camino. And when we finished the Camino planning, we were given the greatest gift by Bishop Todd and Patsy McGregor, because they had done it before us and said, you need to stay some extra days in the city of Compostela. Trusting the two of them, I immediately then began to plan for us to stay extra days there. What I will remember as one of the most incredible memories throughout my life was to be able to go to that piazza where the Camino walk ends, and to be able to observe others finishing that walk. Now, we walked 80 miles. Some people walk 1,000 miles, some 500. Some spend months, and for many different reasons. But the incredible experience is knowing, as these people come around this curve where they cannot really see where they're going, and you're watching the moment that they realize that they're finished. There are tears. There are hugs. There are songs being sung. And we got to see it for 3 extra days. Could it have been possible that the landowner chose to dole out the money first to those who had come at 5 o'clock because he wanted those who had come early in the morning to be able to experience that incredible joy, that incredible celebration that must have gone on for all those men who now knew for sure they could feed their family that night? That is God's hope for all of us. And I can only think of those who have gone before us to heaven. What a gift they have for that fulfillment of the kingdom, to be there when all of those people are finishing their pilgrimage journey, to experience that. But that pilgrimage celebration is meant to be for us in our experience of the kingdom now, to do all that we can so that we will be able to experience others celebrating the gift of the kingdom. The first will be last, and the last will be first. Maybe that's why the book of Revelation tells us that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Just as he is there for those that toiled all day long, he is there just as much for those who waited and waited, and they too receive their reward. May we continue to know that there is always more, that we have a loving God who will take care of all. May we strive to do the same. Amen.